I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast, talking everything church and leadership. And today we have the very special honor of having Clarence and Deb Shashi joining us from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Great to have you guys.
Great to be here, Pastor Phil. Welcome to Malaysia.
Thank you very much. It was such a joy to spend time with you and your pastors.
Always a joy having you with us, Pastor Phil. So much to learn from.
Yes. The thing is, you guys have done really well here. In fact, people, Clarence and Deb, have been made regional directors of this area, which is Southeast Asia mainland.
Mainland Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. And so that's quite a big area.
It is. It covers Malaysia, Thailand, Myanmar, the region, the countries north, that goes right up
Laos,
to Vietnam,
and
even Singapore.
Yeah. Singapore, Brunei.
Brunei.
Amazing. And at this point, how many churches? Because that hasn't been a big regional area for our focus in the past. I think Pastor Jake Betlem has had a lot to do in this area.
Yes.
But in terms of it being a global-wide focus for the movement, it's only just beginning to get some real attention. But how many churches would we have in this area?
We would have about 19 churches now in the mainland Southeast Asia region. Mm-hmm. We've got four Southeast Asian countries that actually have C3 churches in them. But the rest of them, we've got another like three countries that we have not gotten access into yet.
Right.
But we're planning to go into that over this next year or two.
Fantastic. Yeah, you'll do well too. So what's the secret sauce in your church growth?
Debbie, you know?
I think it's just...
I thought you meant you were just pointing at Debbie and saying, she's the secret sauce,
that
right?
What's the secret sauce?
You might be right. I've heard of praying today.
Yeah. She carries it,
Oh, thank you so much. But I think it's, if God gives you a word, He will fulfill His word.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and so He did speak to us on planting a church. It wasn't something that, honestly, is something that I wanted to do.
Right.
So it was a process of stepping out to do that. But God has not failed. He has been faithful. So if He said it, He's going to bring it to pass.
Amazing. How did that word come to you?
We were at college, right?
Yeah, true.
C3 College in Sydney?
Yeah, C3 College in Sydney. We were there for a season, and it was there that God kind of gave us a word.
Right.
True college, true prophecy, and spoke into our lives. You're going to go back. You're going to plant a church. In fact, Pastor Phil, you said that.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know where you're from. You're going to head back. You're going to plant a church, you know, and it's going to grow and it's going to influence. And, you know, I have that prophecy written down.
Amazing.
Yeah. So from there, we decided, it looks like that's the direction that God wants us to go in. We've got a confirmation and we made up our minds that, hey, this is what we're going to do. But up to that point, we were not convinced on actually starting a church or planting a church.
No idea. Even for me, just to step into ministry and being a pastor, like I come from a pastor's family.
Right.
And so you see the ins and outs of church life and ministry.
Yes.
And so I was like, I'm never going to be a pastor. So when we were dating, like I just knew he had a call of God on his life.
Yes.
And at the start, I said, you know, we're going to take this seriously, but I don't want you to become a pastor.
Right.
You got to promise me you're not ever going to become a pastor.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, he's doing well in like the marketplace and everything. And so I said, so when we went to college and like what he said, you know, through prophecy, through the different college lecturers, through people who would just come up to us and speak. And God would speak so clearly during the worship services right. at yeah. your church.
Yes.
The presence of God is just like, yes. you just carry such yeah. an anointing that lifts your spirit, and God just speaks with such clarity and such distinction. And then through the word, as you're going through the word and all of this coming together, it's like...
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's amazing. So your background is not ministry, is it?
No, not ministry at all. I was in the corporate world. My last job was the contact center manager in Citibank.
Right.
So I left that and went into full-time ministry to serve at Pastor Joe's church.
Actually. Yes. Yeah. When did you come to Christ?
Oh, man. That would have been like... easily in my mid-20s.
Right.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and now, how long have you been married?
19 years.
Wow. Okay. And you have how many children?
Four boys.
Yeah. Our eldest is 18. Our youngest is 7.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's pretty yeah. full on, yeah?
Do you have a female cat or dog or anything?
No, I'm the only one giving off female vibes. Yeah. You know? Try and put a bit of flowers around. Make yes. it a bit more feminine.
Like I said, we had different prophecies. The next one's going to be a girl. The next one. And then we're with 4 boys and we said, look here, we're just going to wait
but
for the 4 daughter-in-laws.
Yeah. Yeah. Spiritual daughters.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we got heaps of spiritual
yeah.
daughters.
Yeah.
So they're lovely.
Yeah, you have. And so why, when we asked before, what is the secret source to your church growing and have done so well, you know, what else would there be in that equation?
I would think we place a high value on the presence of God.
Right.
So in terms, like when during our Sunday services, we kind of allow
we make space
for yes. the Holy Spirit, and I think that is one of the secrets.
Right.
Which is pretty much the culture of the movement, which yes. we yes. learned from being in Sydney as well.
Yes.
But that has made a fundamental impact in our church.
Right.
How people see church and perceive the church yes. and stuff like that. So, yeah. So that's
yeah,
would be one of
people would come in and they would just be weeping
yeah.
right.
during worship. And they're like, I don't know why I'm crying, but God's doing such a deep work, which is what you often
yes.
say. Like yeah. 1,000 therapies is not going to yeah. make it a touch of God.
Right.
It's like better than 1,000. And that's what people experience. They receive yeah. healing,
yes.
they receive strength and direction. Yeah. And people are just drawn to that.
Yes.
They love it. You know, their lives are transformed by yeah. the presence
that's
of God.
True. It is amazing that, isn't it? Because my wife and I, our first child miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 3 other children. And with that first child, you know, we were very young, but maybe I would say 20 years ago, probably, Chris was standing in our kitchen
mm-hmm.
and she had a vision of Jesus and this young man who's about the same height mm. as Jesus. And she was taken aback. She's just standing there and there's the Lord
wow.
in our living room. And he said, I want to introduce you to someone.
Wow.
And she said, wow, what's this about? And we were going to call that child Jesse.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he said, I want you to meet Jesse.
Mm. Wow.
And she just broke down and wept. Mm. And it answers 1,000 questions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what you just said, one touch from God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the answer.
I mean, what amount of
therapy or counseling
is going to ever give you that assurance,
mm-hmm.
those answers, that here's this miscarried baby raised in heaven and Jesus knows him.
Yeah.
And so she wrote a book about that.
Wow.
And held many, many services, which I've sat in one or two of them up the back of literally thousands of women weeping. And that, so that experience, like you were saying, can actually be imparted.
Yeah.
Whatever experience we have.
And it comes through that touch. It comes through brokenness.
Yeah.
Like when you know what it is, to lose a child,
right,
but still press into God,
yes,
and not give up on the call, there's an anointing that comes on, yes, that. Yeah. You know, there's a sacrifice to it, but yeah, it's something that is released when you minister, when we come together. It's a mark on your life,
yeah,
mm-hmm, that is able to bless the heart of others.
And if you get a vision like what Chris got in that kitchen, that settles and heals that years of pain.
Everything.
Yeah. Jess is better off where he is now than he's, yeah, got more than what we could ever give him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that kind of, exactly, puts you at rest. Yeah.
So that is why we are so committed, mm-hmm, to providing an atmosphere where God can,
yeah,
meet with people.
Yeah. Yes.
And if our church services are so jam-packed,
yeah,
there's no room for God, yeah, the people aren't going to have those sort of moments, mm-hmm, that bring them answers, solutions, and, mm-hmm, visions and the future, yeah, for their life. And so exactly what you were saying when I asked, why has your church grown? And you say, because we make room for God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can be said too easily without us actually exploring what that means.
Yeah.
And I think it means making room on an altar call.
Yeah.
Like, so that,
yes,
the altar is open.
Yes.
And sometimes that means preaching shorter.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, isn't always easy for a preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely, I think that what you're saying there is key,
yeah,
to growing your church.
Yeah.
What else have you found?
I think one of the things that people say upon coming to our church is it's warm. You know, there's
the big hug.
That's the big, right, hug. Yeah. And we make ourselves accessible. So we don't rush out after service. So like,
right,
we're in the church till like 3 p.m. Service, right, done at 12:30. We're chatting with people. So the community hangs out. So what we've done is we said the refreshments after the, yeah, service is a part of the service. Don't, yeah, think that, yeah, that's just the thing for people to do after church. You could grab a drink, grab a meal.
Right.
So no, that is a part of the whole service, yeah, you know, the church culture.
Yeah.
So we don't kind of separate that from service itself. We kind of include that as part of the service. So people hang out. People love hanging out.
I love, you know, that.
And I think being accessible to people, that kind of, mm-hmm, helps as well. Yeah, there was a guy that came to our church from another church, and he told me for 13 years he was in that church and he's never spoken to the pastor.
Ah.
Yeah. And here he's got access. We were chatting, yes, and laughing and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and
yeah,
I guess that makes a lot of difference.
Well, it depends. I mean, yeah, if the pastor is accessible in the foyer after, yeah, a church service,
yeah,
and he's hugging people. I think Rick Warren claimed he hugged 500 people every weekend.
Wow.
And I just think, like, when we talk about the big hug,
yeah,
hugging people, I mean, is our way of what the Bible calls greet one another with a holy kiss.
Yeah.
But that's pretty close.
Yeah.
A kiss is pretty close. I mean, so a hug is, it's like, just love one another.
Yeah.
And when people linger after church, mm-hmm, that's a sign that God is in the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that they're enjoying it. If you go to a church and they're gone.
Yeah, in and out, it's...
something's wrong.
Yeah, they're just coming for they're doing their thing and they're out of there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the community aspect, like what you, right, spoke about today, is just so, so important. We see that's, mm-hmm, yeah, such a vital part of our church growth.
Seeing them, seeing their children,
yeah,
seeing their moms, yeah, you know. I mean, may not be able to recognize or, you know, remember everyone's name,
right,
but, yeah, you can still give them a hug and a welcome.
Totally.
Make them feel seen, valued, and loved. Yeah.
Exactly. I've always said to our team, like, we don't grow our church in the services. We grow our church in the 15 minutes after,
yeah,
a service.
Yeah, true. You're right. Yeah.
And I've always found it's an interesting thing that visitors who are just going to be there for one Sunday,
mm-hmm,
and they're out from wherever, you know, from Canada or something, and they're visiting. And they feel like for some reason that they've got a prior right to say hello to the pastor and consume 5 minutes of time saying, oh, we saw you on TV. And, you know, yeah, like,
uh-huh,
and it's nice, you know. I don't actually need to be talking to them.
Yeah.
Because there are locals,
mm-hmm,
who yeah, could come back to church that I am not being able to talk to. So we had to structure,
mm-hmm,
so that those people would get some attention.
Yeah.
But not the kind of attention that was needed to hold people or to connect with people and create emotional bonds with people for church life. And that's what locals to our churches are missing the most, those emotional bonds, a connection. And that's why we say we are connect motivated and connect driven in church in C3, because if people feel that fellowship, that commonality, they really, that's what church is. It's not a church service. It's a community of people who are connected.
True.
And we see that with you and the way you relate to your leaders, that you are a community, or there's a friendship there. You enjoy each other's company. And so with our leaders, we've got a great team. They're amazing people. When I look around, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, you calling me pastor. You know what I mean? They're so capable. They're amazing. And they're so willing to serve. And so many of them much older to us. But there's that genuine, I'm here for you. I'm all in, you know. And so
we've got all
there's
this,
an overflow of that.
All these older guys coming up to us. This is my spiritual father. You know, kind of thing. So, you know, I feel a bit...
it is a bit intimidating. But, I mean, way better that you feel like that than you think, of course I am. I mean, humility is always going to walk easier with God than any other kind of attitude.
Hey, everyone. I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor, and we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
The connection with people in Asia, I think, might be easier than in the Western world. I think in the culture of Asia, there's the feeling of grouping up is a lot more apparent. I know in our culture, if I go to the movies, I look for the row that's got nobody on it. And furthest away. So there are, you go to the movies here and
When we go eat in a restaurant, like the empty restaurants, we're not going there. We want to go to the one that has a long queue and everyone's jam-packed in there. Like, that's the restaurant I want to go
to. The food there must be good and everything's there.
But it's true. When we were in Australia, I mean, it was an incredibly warm church. We made some amazing friends. But we did miss home because Asians are...
The whole communal aspect of things.
Yeah, and I think we need to recognize whatever is working in a culture and move with it.
Try and
achieve that rather than creating opposites all the time. Sometimes we're a bit too combative, I think, in church life, that we've got to combat every cultural difference. Only if they're wrong should we do that. But anything that we can work with and in Asia to find that community come together. It's the same in South America. And there's a number of communities or cultures around the world where getting people together is a lot easier than in the West. So give us one more thing about why your church is growing.
So that's the community aspect.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the presence.
It'd have to be the preaching, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would think the preaching as well.
You are a very good preacher. I think your wife is also.
Yeah, she is. She is.
A five-star preacher.
She's a reluctant preacher. I kind of have to force her.
Do you?
Get her to preach.
I'm naturally very introverted, very shy, very reserved. That's why when God called us to step out, I was like massively like struggling.
Really?
It took me an entire year at Bible college. I refused to join like some of the classes because I knew I would have to stand in front of an audience and say something.
Amazing.
But so I was like really struggling with it. But in the end of that year, like I said, during worship, you know, I spoke to God and I said, God, I don't want to go back to become a pastor. I have just so much of fear. And I'm so afraid that, you know, I'm going to go back to so much of pain and you're not going to be there for me. And wow. I just felt His word come into me and say, don't be afraid of the pain. Not all pain is bad pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Some pain is good pain.
Yeah.
Like when a woman gives birth to a child, You're birthing something new into the world. And so some pains you don't have to be afraid of, but I will be with you to walk you through. And so He didn't necessarily remove us from certain situations, but He definitely walked us through.
Perfect.
And grew us in those situations as well.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And so
I love
the process.
Yeah. I think we're both not very confident people, in a sense, not naturally confident people.
Right.
We are both shy people.
Yeah.
We are both introverted to a certain degree. But I guess that kind of pushes us into a dependence of God.
Like
every Saturday before we have to preach on a Sunday, I'm like on my knees before God, fasting. Saturday is my fast day, fasting, praying, you know, and like I still struggle with a bit of anxiety, you know, Sunday mornings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that kind of pushes me into a greater dependence on God, even there as well. And
but you're a great preacher, Clarence.
Thank you so much.
You are a really good preacher.
Oh, wow.
So
I've learned from the best.
But I think that you know, looking on, I'm surprised to know what you just said, because I would have thought, you know, he's not struggling at all. But it shows you how much your dependence on God is. Rewarded you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the grace of God, like some people would say, you know, I'm so afraid to do this or do that. Looking from the outside in, you know, you're going to be making excuses. You're going to see, like, how's that going to happen? But you need to step in and do it. And then the grace comes.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The anointing comes.
So. Such good preaching, sister. You're on fire now. Step in.
And the preach
great,
it, sister.
And the grace of God comes.
Yeah.
No, it is amazing. I believe that. And the fact that we had a pastor's gathering in one of our C3 churches here in KL, and Bishop Clarence blew the trumpet and gathered together, you know, what, about 100 pastors?
Yeah, about 100.
Maybe
people.
More?
Yeah, pastors and leaders.
And, you know, for just having taken on this role 9 months ago, that shows a lot of credibility and respect that you have in the city already amongst your contemporaries.
I hope so. Thanks, Pastor
Phil. He's a great friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's one of those, you could say, old school friends.
Yes.
Loyal.
Yes.
Steadfast. I'm going to be here. So that's the friends that he reaps.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on the team now. We're up to 15 regions now. So you're one of those regional directors, and we put you on when we made Indonesia an independent region as well. Mm. And we're just in the process of another one, which I can't quite think of right now. But the fact is, we continue to grow as a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I continually remind myself of the need that as we get bigger, we personally need to get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I've found that, and we were talking about this a bit earlier, that as churches get bigger, some of our roles change.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I was the teacher and this person was the student yesterday, but now they're leading an area and I am under them.
Yeah.
Like I've discipled a number of people in our movement who are now part of my team. And I need to respect their opinion about leadership decisions as much as anybody else's.
Yeah.
And accept that they've now risen to a new level. My own son, Joseph, has just started a church in Orange County.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm a tithing member.
Wow.
So he's my pastor.
Wow. Yeah.
And I think if we've got fragile egos, we find all that too difficult.
Yeah.
And you watch people who get stuck in life because they're not big enough to actually navigate their way around the changing landscape of these relationships. And I'm aware that you guys have, you know, traveled through a number of various situations. But do you have any thoughts about how we cope with changing situations in our relationships?
I think having an attitude of humility before God, being sensitive to the leading of God in this area, there are a lot of, in Christendom in general, in what we've seen and what we've experienced and stuff, there are a lot of insecure leaders who are afraid to let go of a season, even though it's very obvious to those around them that God is leading them into a new season.
Right.
Like I recently had to kind of speak to one of my pastors to release the church to his son.
Huh.
And it was a struggle. He's in his 70s.
Huh.
And he was holding on to it. And the church, if you don't let go at the time where God's telling you to move on, the church starts to dwindle and it's dropping. The members, are leaving, but he just didn't want to let go of that position. Mm. And I had to actually speak to him and at a point of being very firm, you know, if this carries on, we're going to cut you off. So spoke to the kids. Kids were all for it.
Uh-huh.
Felt it's time for, you know, dad to hand over the church as well. And he agreed. And he did I told him to do a public handover in front of your church members.
Yeah.
All done. And it went really well. And the moment the son took over, the numbers
started rising again.
Yeah. Over 3 weeks, the numbers has gone up. It was just practically dying.
Yeah.
But he was so afraid to let go because his whole identity was tied into his job as a pastor of the church. So what do I do now?
Yeah.
What am I? And I told him, God's going to open doors for you.
Yeah.
You've got to trust. You won't see those doors open sometimes until you obey the voice of God and step out. So he did it. And doors are opening. He's being invited to preach in other places and stuff. So that's that fear, I guess.
It
is. It's an identity issue because your role becomes your identity, your self-worth.
Yeah.
Everything's wrapped around it. I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
So I think holding to that lightly and holding to God tightly, you know, that would kind of help the different seasons. You know,
that's really good, I think Henry Cloud has written a book on necessary endings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good book.
Okay.
Just being able to let go. Because
if
you can't let go of your past, you can't grasp your future.
Mm.
And those moments are difficult, those transition times. And the in-between time is quite challenging between Egypt and Canaan, that wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stay there. If you can cross it, take the land, it'll only take you 3 days.
Yeah.
But if you hesitate when you see how much of a change you're going to have to make and the giants are there, it could take 40 years.
And I think like as younger ministers, when we are kind of working with older ministers, I think obviously a lot of patience and prayer, but I think we can work together with others. I think you prophesied over him like when we were at college and said, link arms with other strong men, they will open doors. So I think that's such a powerful thing.
Yes.
When we link arms with others, who's able to, you know, work different situations together.
Amazing.
Yeah. And you said this arms, these partnerships will be your door openers. That's what you said.
That's great.
Which is a great thing of being a part of C3 Global, that we link arms with others, help each other out and give each other feedback.
Exactly. I mean, what a tragedy to think you're just going to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And you've got nobody to turn to when you're facing your difficult, challenging pastoral circumstances.
Yeah.
And to have friends that you can even trust enough to bleed with them.
Yeah.
And in your Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
That you'd say, even if it's just one friend, and to find those people is very important to make this journey, to even finish the journey.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah.
Well, we are so glad to have you on board as part of the team.
We're glad to be a part of the team, Pastor Phil.
Yes. Amen.
We're so blessed by you, Pastor Phil, and Mama Chris, and all of the other pastors. We've learned so much from you guys. If you didn't step into your calling,
We wouldn't be doing it. No way,
By the grace of God, Jesus has been very kind to us. Thanks again, everybody. Make sure you jump on the subscription list if you haven't subscribed. Share this with a friend if you know somebody who could actually benefit from hearing this message. And leave a comment, like it, and make sure you subscribe. God bless you. See you.
God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.